Welcome to KJV Cafe, where we explore great truths from God's holy word in a simple, down-to-earth fashion. Romans 10:17 shows us where faith comes from. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's grow our faith together in the cafe today. Our program is hosted by Pastor Clark Covington and brought to you by Heartland Ministries. Grab your Bible and a hot cup of coffee or tea and join us now as we explore God's holy word.
Thank you for joining me today. Great to be here. Today we are talking about something fantastic, something wonderful, God's love. What's God's love like? Is it like a love that we understand? You know, if you have a spouse or you have a child or a brother or sister or a grandparent or someone you're close to, it's a deep, intimate love. And you might say, is that like God's love? But that would only just scratch the surface of what God's love is truly like in our lives. You know, God's love is incredible. And the more that you read the Bible, the more that you see God's love come to fruition, the more that you see the characteristics of God's love. And one of those characteristics, which we're going to talk about here today, is the idea of God's love being an inseparable love, one that you cannot separate from yourself if you've been saved. An inseparable love, you know, the idea that love is bound for an eternity between the saved man and God is something that's so true. You can look at love in this world and see that it's often fickle. I don't need to go into a long tangent about that. We've all been in maybe relationships in the past that have been fickle, or friendships or whatever, where people will throw around that word love. And you may even be in church and you have someone say, hey, I love you, brother. I love you, sister. And they don't even know you. But God knows you. Oh, does he know you? He knows everything about you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's God in the flesh dying for us. And so we're going to talk about God's inseparable love, because it's a special love. It's a unique love, and it's written about in the Bible in Romans chapter 8, very familiar passage of scripture, verses 35 through 39. Paul writes about God's inseparable love. It's a special love. Let's read it here. Romans 8, starting at verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So we see here clearly this idea of separation. What can separate us from the love of Christ? What can separate us, in other words, from God's love? Because we know Christ is part of the Holy Trinity. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And all those three are one. And so the question is, what can separate us from that kind of love? And Paul is telling us, in a word, nothing. Nothing can separate us from that kind of love. You know, who shall separate us from God's love? That's how Paul starts this. And you have to think of the context. Romans 8 is an incredible chapter in the Bible. We get so much doctrine out of Romans, especially when it comes to salvation. You know, talk about Romans Road. And there's so many great scriptures. In fact, our founding verse is out of the book of Romans for our little church there in Lincolnton, North Carolina, and dealing with the heart and believing out of, I believe, Romans 10, or yeah, 10:9, I believe it is. And yet there is context here to the idea of separation and God's love. And the idea is that in the old way, Old Testament, the Jewish people were under the law. Well, what did that mean? That means that they had a set of rules they needed to follow to abide by what God wanted them to do. And we know that no man can keep the law. We know that if you've broken one piece of the law, you've broken all the pieces of the law. It's like a chain. If one link is broken, the whole chain is broken. and no one can keep the law. And so the idea is that you'd fail and you'd have to repent and bring these offerings and sacrifices. And it was a system that was there simply to show man that they couldn't keep the law. Now, there is someone that was perfect that could keep every rule of the law because he was perfect, he was sinless, he was out without spot and blemish, and that's Jesus Christ our Lord. And so we get into Romans 8, and we're seeing this doctrine here that would be new to those reading it at the time to understand that in this epistle it's saying that we're not saved by our works, but we are saved by grace, and that grace, that law of love that Jesus Christ fulfilled on the cross for our sin debt, that law, when it was fulfilled, when we're saved by grace, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we are saved for an eternity. Once saved, always saved. We believe in eternal security here on the KJV Cafe. We believe that you can't lose your salvation. If you could lose your salvation, Christ would have to go back to the cross. He did it one time for all humanity for all time. So we don't need to worry about losing our salvation. There is nothing that we can do in our life that hasn't already been forgiven, frankly. If we've been saved, there's no sin that we can commit that God won't forgive. Amen. There is a perfect God who is perfect and holy, who cannot accept sin. That's why he sent his son, who was perfect and sinless and flawless. He lived a perfect life on earth, and he died on the cross to pay our sin debt. And by doing that, when we accept that free gift of salvation that he's offered us by offering up, you know, he said on the cross, it is finished. Telestai, I believe, is the word. It means it's done. Amen. It's finished. Well, what does that mean? That means that when we accept Christ as Savior, our sin debt has been repaid. It is finished. It is done. It is no longer to be brought up. We are not under condemnation. Now, you're saying, well, Brother Clark, should I just live in sin? No, the Bible, in fact, Romans addresses that we should not live in sin. We should not make a mockery of what Christ did for us. All the more because we love God for what he did, we should follow his commandments. Jesus says in the scriptures, if you love me, keep my commandments. We love the Lord and we show him by being obedient to him. That's very important. But our salvation doesn't rest even on obedience. If we truly have been saved, God is not a liar. That gift of salvation goes on forever. And so that's the context of this verse here in Romans 8. Now, what's going to separate us from the love of Christ? And the reason why it's so helpful to go over this and such a blessing to go over this is we can be reminded of just how great and long-suffering and patient and loving our God is. Amen. And so we see here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then Paul gives a list. He gives a list here. And so we see this list. There's tribulation, distress, persecution, and on and on. And so we see this list and you want to know, okay, well, what does it mean, right? I think it's seven things here. Well, let's just break them down. Can tribulation separate us from God's love? Well, have you been in tribulation? Where was God in your life? If you're a believer, I will tell you, in times of tribulation, as been preached on many times on this program, if you're a believer, in times of tribulation, God is closer to you than ever before. And we see that I was just been reading the book of Daniel and the Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, and there's one that looks like the Son of God in there. Oh, I get fired up early in the morning. I'm reading that and I'm praising God, seeing that, because it is a picture of where Christ is in the life of the persecuted believer, the believer that's going through tribulation, the believer that is going through harshness. Okay. Christ is right there. So will tribulation separate God's love from us? No, tribulation magnifies God's love. It amplifies God's love. I've been through a few hard times in my life, and I can tell you the Lord has been there every step of the way. And as I've matured and drawn closer to the Lord and sought the Lord, oh, how he has shown up in times of tribulation to do unspeakable things, like to give me ease and peace when there is no reason I should have it. And I call out to God and say, thank you, God, that must be from you, because on my own, my mind would be racing all day and all night, but you have given me peace. You have made me whole. You get the glory. Amen. I could go on, but for time's sake, number two, distress. Could distress separate us from the love of God? No, when we are distressed, God is there with us. When we are distressed, we are to turn to God and his love to come out of that distress. Maybe our distress we've brought upon ourselves. That doesn't separate us from the love of God. Maybe the distress is something we haven't done anything. You know, it rains on the just and the unjust. Everybody has problems, to be simple about it. And God's love is very present in distress. If you're going through distress today, don't think that God doesn't love you. Amen. He does, and he's right there with you. It's a beautiful thought. Persecution. We talked about tribulation, persecution. I mentioned that earlier. If you're being persecuted, does it separate you from the love of God? Oh, it doesn't. A man that was saved, I can't think of his name offhand. I saw a video about him when I was showing a video to our church about, I believe it was the Babylonian captivity. And this man, they started the video with a contemporary example of someone that had been exiled or kidnapped. And this man was not a believer. And he spent, I think, a year in isolated Middle Eastern prison. And he God found him, amen. He got saved in that prison, amen. And it's kind of a rare thing. A lot of times God uses other saints to win others to the Lord. And he'll use his word through other saints, right? Rarely do you hear about people literally being saved out of nowhere, but it does happen. It happened to this man. God was with him in persecution. There's believers right now, I believe in Haiti, that are kidnapped and going through persecution. Has God left them? No, he's closer to them than ever. His will is being done. He is allowing it for a reason and for a season. And God is with the persecuted. If you want more examples of that, look up Voice of the Martyrs, a great Christian organization. I love Voice of the Martyrs, and they have a great radio program. They have a magazine. They make DVDs. They are founded by a man that went through great persecution when God was with him, and he waxed stronger and stronger in that persecution, and the Lord has blessed him with a great ministry today. Look up Voice of the Martyrs. Famine, is God with us in famine? He is, absolutely. He's with the suffering. An example of that would have been Jacob. His family was starving, and they had to go to Egypt to get the corn, and they were greatly blessed when they went to Egypt to get the corn by Joseph and the reunification of the family, and that brings into the 12 tribes coming into Egypt, which eventually will come out of Egypt in the Exodus story. And so God is with us in famine. There's many examples of that. And look, you're wondering, why does the child in Africa or some third world country starve and deal with tribulation and problems? And I don't have all the answers, but I know our God is with that child. Amen. And I know our God is with believers, and our God will motivate believers to help that child and help those people. And so we as believers need to be about our Father's business and show the love of Christ, that he is there in famine, in dire times, in nakedness, when you have nothing. You know, I think of nakedness, I think it's kind of referencing here poverty. You know, when you have nothing, is God with you? Oh man, this is a good one. You know, I believe, and I've heard this quoted or paraphrased several times, that if you go off into places of great poverty, that there'll be people that are happier, way happier and more joyful there in that great poverty, in a hut with nothing. They'll be just rejoicing in Jesus than the richest person in Beverly Hills and the richest person in Manhattan. I've mentioned before on this program, I grew up in a very affluent town. No, I was not affluent. I lived at grandma's house. But hey, that town was ridiculously affluent, and people were dealing with ridiculous amounts of problems. And they, again, I've said there was no revival meeting in that town, okay? It was not exactly on fire for the Lord. And so money and things and materials, the world tells us materialism will give us all these things. And Paul's telling us here, in nakedness, it will not separate you from the love of God. And I'll go further to say that when you have poverty, it brings you closer to God. We used to joke around in our old country church some years ago, hey, us up here in the mountain, us mountain folks, when we don't have a whole lot, what do? We have to depend on God. Amen. That nakedness, that brings us closer to God, because we're looking to God for our security, our next step, our meal, our help. And if you get involved in the food ministry, the helps ministry, clothing ministry, ministering to those in rehabilitation centers, you'll hear how God has shown up in amazing ways when they've been stripped to nothing. So nakedness will not separate us from the love of God at all. Peril, which means serious and immediate danger. Peril. When we're in serious or immediate danger, will God be with us? Let me ask you this other question. In immediate danger and in serious immediate danger, will God run? Is God's hand not strong enough to deal with every and all situation at all times? Is God afraid? Is God muted? Is he ineffective? Oh no. Our God is strong. He has a mighty, mighty strong arm. His strong hand created everything. The biggest mountain on the earth, that's nothing to God. He made it in a day. It is nothing. Amen. The oceans, the seas, which have taken many lives, that's just his command that they go there. The stars, the moon, the galaxies, God made it all. And now you're in peril and you're in serious and immediate danger. And you're saying, is God able? Is God able? Oh, God's able. I've preached on this before, but God, but God, but God. The Bible's full of but gods. And when there seems to be no way out and you're in serious and immediate danger, but God, God steps in and he is with those that love him. I believe that. And then sword, military conflict, violence. Is God with those? Absolutely. And going back to Voice of the Martyrs, it wasn't them, but it was another video on persecutions. And there was a man in India, and he was beat by some younger men with a stick for preaching Christ in a Hindi extremist area. And he was beat bloody, and he ran outside, and he was holding his Bible, and he was proclaiming Christ's love. And it was amazing. He was proclaiming Christ's love. He was in the middle of the sword and of the violence, and God was there with him, and God was using him, because everyone on the street was saying, who is this bloody man holding that book talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? Hey, God has a way of getting people's attention, and he is with those that are facing the sword. Also, he'll give them peace, amen, and he'll be with them. And you want to go deeper into that? The Bible is full of military conflicts. It's full of kingdoms being taken over and capitalized and brought down. God is with those that are in the midst of a battle, both literally and spiritually. So we see here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? None of those things will. By the way, as you might have picked up, all seven of these things, seven being the number of completion, all seven of these things actually bring us closer to the love of Christ. It brings us closer to the love of God. And so if you're going through any of these, rejoice, because you are given an opportunity to draw closer to the love of God. And I hope you take God up on it. Amen. And then we see here an interesting kind of pivot in the scripture. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it lists tribulation, distress, persecution, etc. And then here in verse 36, as it is written, well, that'll indicate it's in the Bible. For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That's verse 36 of Romans 8. Well, what's that referencing? Well, that is referencing Psalm 44, 22. When David, read Psalm 44 in its entirety, it's only about 25 verses long, David is calling out to God to arise and help him. David is calling out to God, telling God that, hey, we have been faithful, we love you, and we have been under your rod of correction. We have been dealt with by others that are wicked, who are prospering, and we are hurting, and we are calling out to you to help us. Amen. And that's what this scripture is referencing. As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. I think Paul is mentioning here, God help me to say it right, that we are vulnerable, that we make ourselves vulnerable to this God, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to our God, to the God. We make ourselves vulnerable to him because he has this inseparable love that will not leave us no matter our vulnerabilities. Amen. You may be in a relationship and you see someone very vulnerable, and some person, a wicked person, would take advantage of that vulnerability. Amen. But this the believer is made to be vulnerable. Paul was made very vulnerable. Moses was made very vulnerable. Great men used by God were made very, very vulnerable. Okay, so our vulnerability is not against us. As David wrote, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. David writes in there about being in that valley of the shadow of death that he mentions later on. And he writes that, and he's saying, look, we're made vulnerable because we trust you. And then what does Paul do in verse 37? He writes, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Oh, I love that. We are more than conquerors. So we see that we're vulnerable. We see that God's love is inseparable. And then we see that we're more than conquerors, through him that loved us, through him that loved us. Well, who's him that loved us? That's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so we see that in the old times, David was calling out to God and praying to God because that is who he knew, right? And now here in this age of grace, we can say affirmatively that we are more than conquerors. We know that we're vulnerable, but we're more than conquerors through him that loved us, that's Jesus Christ. And that's that cross, that finished work on the cross. That's our redemption. That is what makes us more than conquerors. Jesus Christ on the cross died for our sins. He died for my sin. He died for your sin. He died for the sins of the world. And God in his scripture puts that he wishes for no man to go to hell, that he wants all to come to repentance, to come to faith in knowing him, to come to salvation. And that's done through Jesus Christ. It's already been done. It's a finished work. And as we accept that free gift of salvation, we then have conquered death, hell, the grave. We've conquered it all. We have broken Satan's back through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. We are no longer under the law. We are no longer headed for hell. We are no longer having our sin given to us on our account, but we have Jesus Christ's righteousness imputed to us so that we no longer face the penalty of sin that would be death and hell, but we are now headed for heaven with our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why it's so important to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the Bible says to work your salvation out with fear and trembling, to truly trust Jesus Christ as Savior. And then we have the conclusion here. So we see, just to kind of reiterate, that nothing in terms of tribulation, persecution, famine, poverty, sword, all these things, nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's inseparable. He is faithful and just and true and amazing. And then we see that we're made vulnerable by our position here because we are not given a position of great power in and of ourselves. So we're made vulnerable. We are basically like sheep for the slaughter. We are just out here serving God in a wicked world. And then we realize that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's Christ Jesus. So we realize our spiritual place and our spiritual authority. And we realize that we do have that closeness with God because Christ died for us and he made us more than conquerors. It's not some last minute victory. It is a massive blowout. Amen. We are more than conquerors. Our God is able. I've already preached on his strength. He's able, and we are part of that. We are on the winning side when we trust Christ as Savior. And then finally, the things Paul is persuaded that cannot separate us from the love of God. This is verses 38 and 39 of Romans 8. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So what do we have that could separate us now? Now we've got some kind of bigger things to think about. Before, we were talking about very specific things like circumstantial things, distress and persecution, famine. Now we're talking about the big life issues, death. Death cannot separate us from the love of God. Why? Because Christ died for us, for our sins, and now we are headed to heaven. And so to die is gain. Amen. To die is a wonderful thing. And you say, well, you know, that's scary, but it shouldn't be scary because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I believe that death is not a long, arduous journey from closing your eyes in death to making your way down some long trail to heaven. I believe it's like blinking your eye. It's just you're dead and then you're in heaven. Your body's not, you know, not alive anymore, but your soul's with Jesus and you're going to get that resurrected body on the day of the rapture. Amen. And so death cannot separate us from the love of God. In fact, death again brings us closer to the love of God. Life cannot separate us. And I look at life as the idea that when we are alive in this world, we feel like we could lose our salvation. And I've already mentioned, no, the Bible is full of very plain facts and proof that leads to eternal security and that life cannot separate us from the love of God. No matter what we do here, once we're saved, we're always saved. Angels, that's interesting. Angels cannot separate us from the love of God. I think of fallen angels and the devil, because the next one is principalities. We can kind of lump those together. They can't separate us from the love of God. You know, they want to, but they can't. They cannot. And they want to get at us to try to get at God. They hate God. They were proud. They were cast out of heaven. And they're wreaking havoc here on earth in the little g god of this world's earth. And they can try, but it won't separate us from the love of God. And again, an interesting twist, as they torture the believers and go after all these people and do all these wicked things, these fallen angels, what are they doing? They're driving us closer to Jesus. That's what it should be doing. It should be making us more like Jesus. That is God's plan. That's why God's allowed it. And then powers, you know, powers cannot separate us from the love of God. What can powers do? Everyone has someone over them. Amen. You may have a bad boss, you may have a bad mayor, you may have a bad governor, you may have a bad on and on, okay? You get the idea. What can powers do? You may have a bad crooked police officer or whatever else. You could have a bad mate, you know? What can powers do to separate us from the love of God? Powers can do nothing. They can do nothing to separate us from the love of God. If you look at Jesus Christ, he loved the Father loved him. That was very clear, amen, in the scripture. In his earthly ministry, the powers wanted to separate him from the love of God. The powers wanted to kill him and to persecute him and to make a mockery of him, but they could not do that because he was actually here. He came to earth to die so that we could be saved, amen. And it's a beautiful, beautiful love story that only Christ could have fulfilled. And he deserves all the glory, amen. But powers cannot take away God's love from us. They just can't do that. They're not able to do that. Things present, can present circumstances take away the love of God? Can it separate the love of God from us? No, I mean, think about what the love of God is. It's eternal. And God is sovereign and he has foreknowledge. So whatever has happened today will not separate us from the love of God. And then it says things to come. Well, things to come, that won't separate us from the love of God because he has foreknowledge. He knows what's to come and he still loves us. In fact, again, I mentioned that the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loved us when we were yet sinners, So nothing that we can do in this life is going to separate us from the love of God. Nothing that happens in the future is going to separate us from the love of God. And then it goes on, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature. Nor height, nor depth, nor any creature. The idea that there is some heavenly situation that would separate us from the love of God, no. And some situation in hell that could separate us from the love of God, no. No creature of any kind can separate us from the love of God. No man can separate us from the love of God. No group, no organization, no university, no government can separate us from the love of God. These are things that are, the word would be intangible. We are not separated from the love of God because nobody can do that. And God is dealing on the eternal plane, the soul plane, the idea of this eternity. And he loves us, and we have a place when we are saved by what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross, amen. When we are saved, we are saved for an eternity, and we have God's eternal love, and that's something that cannot be separated by man and or anything. And I think Paul, in a way, goes through this whole long list in a way to kind of just punch home the fact that nothing can. It's almost like you realize, okay, some of these things maybe don't apply to you or didn't apply to him, but he's saying, I could list them all. I could list everything under the sun, but nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And so what is the love of Christ? Well, it's the love of God. And what is the love of God? The love of God is that we are his and that he is ours, that we have fellowship with him, that we have a closeness with him, that we have a very detailed prayer life, that we are obedient to him, that we are abstaining from sin, that we are winning others to him. Why? Because this life is but for a season. Soon, and I believe very soon, the rapture is coming and the church will be taken out. That's when Jesus Christ will be in the clouds and the trumpet will sound and he will call, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, will be called up with him and will be with him forevermore. That's going to happen very shortly. I believe it. And so what the Lord is doing is he's preparing his saints and saying, I know it's tough times. I know there's a lot on your mind. I know there's a lot on your plate, but understand that nothing in this time and nothing in the past, and certainly nothing to come, will separate my love for you. So turn to me. I believe God is saying, turn to me, not turn to Clark, but turn to me. Turn to God. Turn to him. Understand who he is. Meditate on the fact that nothing can separate his love from you, and that very soon we'll be with him in an eternity where none of this will happen anymore, where we won't need the type of faith we have now because we will see him face to face and we will give him glory forever, because then we can truly say we see him. We'll say glory, all glory and honor to God forever and ever. Amen. His love is eternal and nothing separates us from his love. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.
Thanks for listening to this episode of KJV Cafe. Have a question for Pastor Clark? Email him directly at clark@enduringpromise.org or visit kjvcafe.com and click the envelope button on the homepage. Our program is hosted by Pastor Clark Covington and brought to you by Heartland Ministries. We'll close today with Psalm 119, verses 166 through 168. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee.